I, as though he embraced and welcomed home. What a powerful truth that is from the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for that. And Brother Phil, that was excellent. Good job. He's told me he's been working on some arrangements and stuff. Sometimes you never know how to react with those things, right? But that was very good. Wonderful text, and I loved the music in that too. Just a precious thing. Thank you very much for that. 2 Peter chapter number 1, please. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Now, it's been a number of weeks. We had two missions weeks and a hurricane week since I preached the introductory message to the book of 2 Peter. And so we're just now getting back to this was the message I was planning to preach the morning of the hurricane. So somebody that wasn't here then needed it today, I guess. So I'm not sure what the Lord was doing there, but I'm grateful to be able to preach it now. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This is, in my opinion, one of the most power-packed sections of Scripture in the Word of God. I've said to you before, what's my favorite passage of Scripture, the one I'm probably currently studying. But if you really pressed me and said you got to pick one text of Scripture, what would your favorite be? This would probably be it. And the reason it is because God gives us so much here about life and about godliness and what we ultimately need and what he's actually equipped us for. Have you ever thought if you had just something, a little more of something, you could do a better job? I mean, if you had maybe a little more time, or maybe a little more talent, or a little more money. Money would do it, right? Or a little more height, or a little less something else, or whatever. I mean, you just think, you know, I always thought, boy, it'd be nice to be a little taller. I absolutely love watching football. I played it 1 year. Well, I went out for the team 1 year, okay? I was in seventh grade. And let's just say that in seventh grade, I was quite the runt, all right? I mean, at 16, I had to look through the steering wheel to see over the dash. I mean, I couldn't look over the steering wheel and got pulled over multiple times my first month because they didn't figure there was no way you can be 16 years old. So I was little, to say the least, and my coach put me at middle linebacker. And the linemen did not do their job. And so when they said hike, I looked up and the running back is coming towards me. And then as I'm spitting the grass and the dirt out of my mouth, I thought, you know, that did not go how I planned, you know. So I tried it a second time, and the second time the dirt and grass and all that in my teeth and mouth. And I'm thinking, you know what, I don't think this is a sport for me. This body type just doesn't match football, right? And it was like, boy, I wished I was 6'7" and about 300 pounds. And, buddy, he wouldn't have run me over like that, right? It's like, yeah. But God didn't make me 6'7", 300 pounds. I'm 5'7". Well, anyway. but all of us sometimes wonder, man, why can't I be as smart as that person? If I was as smart as him, I could make straight A's too. And not only that, but he's smart and he doesn't have to work a job in school. I got to work a job and I'm dumb. How does that combination work out? You know, it's like, what is the deal with this? And so many times we think, I really don't have what is necessary to serve God. But when you say that, you're calling God a liar. That's what you're doing. Because God says, I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. You're like, well, wait a minute, Pastor. What about the kid who was born with Down syndrome? I mean, come on. He doesn't have everything he needs. Yes, he does. He's got everything he needs for what God wants him to accomplish with his life. You're like, okay, so you're telling me that I'm dumb as a rock for a reason. That's what I'm telling you. By the way, you're probably not as dumb as you think you are, all right? But yes, you have exact intelligence that God wanted you to have. Now, what you've done with that intelligence might have something to do with it too. I understand that, okay? But God's given us everything we need. You're like, boy, if I could just talk to this person. I mean, these people get into conversations. They're just a natural conversationalist, and I'm just not. God's given you everything you need for life and godliness. You know what? I don't know about you, but man, that helps me. I'm like, okay, God's equipped me for what I'm supposed to be. That means God equipped me with the family I came out of. He equipped me with my wife and the family she came out of. All of that is a part of the process. And some of the processes we don't like, right? I mean, how many of you like everything that's happened to you? It's like, no. But all of that, God is equipping us. I love what John Phillips says. He says, God knows that even when we accept the royal invitation and come in all our ruin and rags to Jesus, even when by his grace he puts us in the family and sits us at his own table, we do not have in and of ourselves the spiritual resources necessary to live the Christian life. So he gives us all that we need. That's really what this text is saying. We must realize that God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. And what comfort that can give us. Let's look at this text. Number one, we want to see this morning that we have a precious faith. Then we'll see that we're proxies, or we speak on behalf of the Father. We'll look at, we have a power for flourishing. We have the promises of the Father. Boy, are they many and what they mean for us. And then we can be partakers of the Father. And that's a powerful passage as well when we get to it. And this whole text lays the foundation for the book of 1st or 2nd Peter, because in this book is, I think the theme of this book is growing. He finishes the book, but grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next text of Scripture, he's going to talk about it. Adding to your faith virtue, into virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance. This is how you can be abounding and fruitful. But this all lays the foundation for us. So we look first off this morning. We have a precious faith. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Do you know it's an honor to know the God of the universe? We get to know him. We don't only get to know him, we get to actually fellowship with him. We get to talk to him. We get to tell him our problems. He says to cast our care upon him, for he cares for us. All those things. With the God of the universe, the God who spoke this world into existence. What an incredible privilege that is. By the way, we're going to give an account for that. Do we take advantage of the fact that we get to know him? I notice what he says here. We've attained this like precious faith through the righteousness of God. You know this, but can I remind you that you don't have righteousness on your own? The righteousness that you have deposited to your account was deposited on behalf of Jesus Christ. He took our place, just as the song said. We exchanged our sin. He took our sin and gave us his righteousness. What a deal that was. What a deal that was. Salvation is obtained by faith, like precious faith through the knowledge of him, or through the righteousness of God. Without this as our foundation, we have nothing on which to grow. Faith is the very foundation. And Peter's going to get to that a little bit later on in verse 5. We're not dealing with that text this morning, but Lord willing, we'll get to it next week. And besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. What? The faith that was the basis for your salvation. It's on that foundation that you build everything else. It is on that foundation that you grow. It is on that foundation that you produce fruit in your life. And if you don't, you can get to a point where you don't even remember you are saved. That's what he says in the text. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Like, well, Pastor, you're talking to us. I know. When's the last time you thanked him for it? And I ask that question often because I think it's important. Like, Well, he saved me 40 years ago. Okay, when's the last time you thanked him? Shouldn't you be as thankful today? Matter of fact, I would argue with you, you ought to be more thankful today because you ought to understand it better. You ought to understand better what he did for you. It's like, oh, wait till we get to some of these parts in the book of Revelation. You're going to be really excited we don't have to go through it. Do you know why we don't have to go through it? Because he redeemed us, that's why. What a thrill that is. Do you have this faith? We have a precious faith. But then number two, I've called it, we are proxies of the Father. This word proxy, one who can rely upon to speak or act in one's behalf. In other words, Jesus has left us here to speak on his behalf. He says that, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And what am I doing? I'm writing to them that have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We get that from him. It's his message. It's his righteousness. And we communicate it. If someone's appointed an ambassador of a country, they don't have their own agenda. They don't speak their own thing. They speak what the country wants them to represent, specifically the President of the United States or what Congress has set up or whatever. Brother Lewis was telling me that Papua New Guinea is about to host an Asian economic conference. It's a big deal, and it may be impacting their visas, and we were talking about that. But Vice President Pence is going to be there, and world leaders and all kinds of people are going to be there. But I can tell you, Vice President Pence is going to be there on behalf of the United States government. He doesn't have his own unique message. He has the message from our government. He's a representative. He's an ambassador. He's a proxy, if you will. You can sign over a proxy for someone to do for your will or can be in place of you for a power of attorney. You're speaking on behalf of the other person. And notice what he says here. It's through his will. It's not my will, it's his will that he's given to us. I love the fact in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 15, it says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." This is through the righteousness of God. It's his grace and peace. It's his knowledge that we're working through. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." See, when we actually respond the way we're supposed to, when we have this like precious faith through the righteousness that's in God, we're to act as his child. We're to act that we don't have our own will. It's all his will. Therefore, my life's not my own. It's not my own. It's all him. And so therefore, he gets to tell us what to do. We're sent forth to do what he wants, not what we want. That's tough sometimes, isn't it? I mean, there are things sometimes that he asks us to do that's kind of like, boy, I'd rather not do that. I sure wish I didn't have to do that. But sometimes he asks us to do that thing. Are you a servant of Jesus Christ? Yeah, that's what a servant is. He's totally given over to the will of his master. And Peter opens this and says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle. It's not Peter's will. The servant doesn't come in and go, "Hey, excuse me, master. I think I know how to run this house better than you do. So I got some agendas for today." No, he walks in and says, "What do you want me to do today, Lord? Master, what's your agenda for today?" Well, here it is. This is what's going to happen. But the third truth that we see from this text of Scripture is we have the power for flourishing. And that's what he says in verse 3. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." Man. Sometimes I think we read verses and we don't really let it sink into us. Peter, I love, he doesn't just say according to power. He says according to his divine power. Did you know that God's power depends on nothing else? It's totally inherent in him. It's ultimate and it's self-contained, if you will. Okay? Now you say, So, okay. These lights are running. Aren't you glad for that? But they're not self-contained. They're coming from somewhere. And wherever they're coming from is coming from something else. All right? So, Brother Randy, I'm going to put you on the spot here. When your turbines fire up, what are they running on? Natural gas. All right? So they're burning natural gas to turn the power which can put these lights on. Now, I don't know if Kings Mountain's buying from his plant. You have to understand how power grids work, and I don't understand it all, but I understand a little bit. And then there's some places that burn on coal. Some are nuclear. Brother Billy, you worked in nuclear plants, so that nuclear process provides the power. Some are built on dams. The water generates that. But you see, all of those are getting their power from somewhere else. It's not inherent in himself. Nobody has that except for God. So when he says, according to his divine power, oh, by the way, just in case you're wondering what that power can do. You ever thought about that sometimes, what it can do? I mean, it's the same power that spoke the worlds into existence. It's the same power that said, let there be light. Not this light. The stars, the sun, the moon, which reflects the sun. But let there be light. And he created the stars also. Okay. You know, they say that there are stars that are burning out there that they can see that we've not yet seen the light here. And yet they've been burning for potentially thousands of years. You know what's interesting? We were talking about the book of Revelation this morning. There's a passage in the book of Revelation that talks about how the angel basically removes the shield from the sun. It's not exactly what he says, but it's basically like that. And the sun begins to scorch men. Do you know what that means? That means that we're not even getting the full power of our sun. That God is actually hiding some of that from the earth. And by the way, the sun, our sun, is a peon in the areas of stars. I mean, it's really a nobody in the stars. And if you don't believe that, go look at some of those videos out there. It's amazing when you look at some of these stars. And he just put those in place. In 2011, there was an earthquake in Japan. Most of us know more about the tsunami that resulted from the earthquake, but it was all there. Listen to some facts about this. Do you know that earthquake moved the main island of Japan by 8 feet? Moved the island by 8 feet. And by the way, again, the book of Revelation, the islands are going to flee away and hide. That's power. It shifted the earth's axis. Shifted the earth's axis by 4 inches. Okay? You just let some of you that know a little bit about science, just let that sink into you a little bit, right? It ruptured the Earth's crust by 250 miles long by 100 miles wide. It moved the tectonic plates more than 60 feet. That's what God did. It's like, oh, that power. Yeah. That's the power he says is available to you. According to his divine power hath given you. That's what he says in the text. Like, oh, wow. God's gifts to us are all we need to live the life he intended. In other words, God has given you exactly the looks that you needed. There must be some reason some of you are so ugly. That's all I'm saying. God's given you exactly what you needed, right? He's given you the exact money that you need. He's given you exactly the family that you need. He's given you the exact circumstances you need. He's given you the exact mind that he's given you the exact eyes that function. He's given you those things. And when we, listen to this, when we complain about those things, we're saying, God, you did a bad job. You know what? I can tell you, there are many times I wished I had a different metabolism. I do. It would be great to eat what I want and look like some of you. That'd be awesome. But it ain't happening. I've just given up on it totally. It's not going to happen, you know. I'm going to have to eat this way the rest of my life to even keep this incredible figure. It's just part of it, you know. Yesterday was a frustrating day. Well, let's say this week was frustrating, right? Because it just doesn't matter what I do, you know. I'm like, how can you eat? I can't eat any less. I'm starving to death is what's going to happen before it's all said and done. And I'm like, I gained weight. I'm like, really? I'm supposed to be losing. This is not, you know, it's like, ugh. But you know what? That's what God's given me. He's given it to me. He's given me the exact metabolism. My brother eats more calories in breakfast than I eat in probably 2 days. And he's like, how many calories are you allowed to have? He goes, I eat that in breakfast. I mean, he says that stuff to me. I'm like, really? Thanks, bro. I appreciate all your encouragement. It's like, but God's given me everything I need, and that's what I have to settle on. The more we know about God, the more we're going to know how to live. Did you see what he says here? According to his divine power, hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through what? The knowledge of him. How well do you know your God? It's through the knowledge of him. Do I know who God is? Do I know what he wants for me? Do I know what he intends for me? Do I really know him? I'm afraid for many of us, we know about God. We don't really know him. The truth is, I know about some people. I know about the President of the United States, but I don't know him. Do you really know God? I mean, can you spout off some facts that you learned in Sunday school or that you learned one day in a theology class? Or can you really talk about who God is in your everyday life? Because if you can't, you don't really know him. You just know about him. And that'd be tragic. Because the truth is, he wants us to know him. Like, how do you know that? Because he came to walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden, in fellowship with them. And he wanted that so badly, if I can use that word, he wanted that so much that he set a plan in place to redeem us so that we could have that kind of fellowship again. Man. And then we ignore him. God wants our daily actions, our thoughts, everything about life to give the right opinion of him. It says here, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Are you given the right opinion of your God? Every day and every choice that you make, are you given the right opinion? And this virtue is an interesting word. It signifies choices. In other words, God expects me to make the choices that please him. He's going to talk about that word a little bit later on. He says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. Did you know that you've got to actually choose to do right? And if you don't choose to do right, it doesn't do you any good to have a bunch of head knowledge up here. You actually have to work with it. You actually have to, okay, what I know now, I'm going to use for God. Perhaps the reason you don't know God the way he wants you to know him is because you're not using what you already know. And you're not walking with him. Do you believe that God has given you what you need to live for him? He has. Every aspect. Like, well, Pastor, I'm getting old. Yep, everybody is. Everybody in this room is getting old. You're like, well, there's some little kids in here. They're getting old too. They're a day older today than they were yesterday at this time. It's the truth, isn't it? I mean, that's the reality. And the fact is, you're going to keep getting old. There's only one other alternative. Right? I mean, that's it. When you stop getting old, you die. That's the alternative. So we're all getting, but I don't like where I'm at right now. God's given you everything you need too. He knows what age you're at. He knows what condition we're in. Yesterday specifically, we're getting closer to a wedding. Not that it's on my mind or anything. And his perspective and my perspective are two different things, right? It's okay. I expect him to be that way. But yesterday, for some reason, I started thinking about them coming back from their honeymoon, loading the moving truck, and watching it pull away. It's like, okay. That's not going to be fun. Do I know that's what God wants? Absolutely. Am I thrilled for it? Yes. Is this what God gave him to us for? Absolutely. But those are some tough things sometimes, you know? But you know what? God's given us this right now. That's what he's given us. And if we gripe about that, then we're saying, God, you don't know the right plan. God's given us everything we need for life and godliness. The fourth truth that we see from this passage is we have the promises of the Father. See what he says here? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, we don't have time this morning to go through all those promises, but wow, are they loaded in this book. I mean, you just start thinking about the ones that we know of that we claim all the time. Aren't you glad that God will never leave us or forsake us? Aren't you glad that he's a faithful God, that he's coming back and he's going to keep his word? Aren't you glad that when he redeemed us, he promised us heaven? Those are just a few of the promises that we get to claim. By the way, these are precious promises. They're valuable promises. If we were to use a modern day word, when you go in these convenience stores and they got a mega drink, you know, big drink, you need an IV for those things, right? God's promises are mega in size. They're huge. Matter of fact, you can't get to the end of them. You can't quite understand the grace and the peace and the love. And we could go on and on and on. It's beyond our even comprehension. I'm not sure in eternity we're going to completely understand all of it. What an amazing God. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 says, for all the promises of God are in him, are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Are you claiming God's promises today? Are you claiming God's promises today? A fifth truth, he says in the last part of verse 4, we can be partakers of the Father. He says that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I go, wait a minute. You mean it's possible for us to be like God? Yep. Matter of fact, he commands us to be holy, for I am holy. And how do we do that? Will we do that because of everything he's given us? He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's given us the promises. He's given us the ability to know him. And when we do all that, then we have the ability to be like him. Amazing. Each one of us should be more and more like God every day. I ought to be more like God today than I was last year at this time. I ought to be more like him than the year before. And a month from now, I ought to be more like him. And we have that ability. When we escape the corruption that is in the world through lust, when we get rid of all the sin, aren't you just tired of sin? I mean, you just read news stories and it's like, really? I've gotten to a point where I'm like, do I even want to see the headlines today? This person killed this person, and this person shot this many people, and this person, I'm like, ay, ay, ay. But it's sin. And by the way, I'm pretty sick of sin that's in here too. The motives and all, it's constantly like, you get this thing, and it's like, ooh. Paul says, I'm just tired of living this way. Where to be that way? It is God in us that makes the difference. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 1 Peter chapter 4, he says this, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. We used to live that way. when we walked in lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine, revelings and banquetings and abominable idolatries, wherein they, the people you used to run with, think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of rioting, speaking evil of you. They can't believe you're that different. Do your people know that you're that different? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and following, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. Those are incredible truths. Are you growing in the likeness of your Lord? Are you different than you used to be? Can someone look at you and say, wow, what a difference in your life? How you're adding more of God to yourself. How I can see that you've gotten victory in this area or victory in that area. You're like, well, Pastor, the problem is I've been saved for 50 years, so you got it all together? You don't need to grow anymore? I know there's people in here that's probably been saved longer than I've been alive, but it didn't mean that we should stop growing. We're supposed to continue to be conformed to the image of His Son. And you're like, well, I can't think of anything that needs to change. Ask God. I can promise you, He'll tell you. At least He does me. It's like, oh yeah, there's some things right there. What about that attitude right there? What about your impatience right here? What about, well, I want to be more like Him. So the truth is, will you take God at His word, and will you walk away saying, God, I'm going to trust You. I have everything I need for life and godliness. Or will you walk away believing that you need something else to be successful in the Christian life? I've had people say to me, I just think if we get a new location, and if we can do this, then I think we're going to be better. Can I tell you, your spirituality has zero to do with your location. Your ability to stand for God and be a witness at your job has nothing to do with your job. It has to do with you. Are there some environments that are rougher than others? Absolutely. I understand that. I'm not trying to belittle that. I'm not saying that God doesn't move people from time to time. And I'm not saying that some moves aren't good for us. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you think that you're not being spiritual here, and if you move to location A with X job, you're going to be more spiritual, you got a problem. It's not going to happen that way. Because it's choices that you make. God's given you all you need, and He's put you right here, right now. Well, I don't like right here and right now. That's probably why He's got you there. Because we need to learn that. Are you using those resources that God's given you? If you don't have any, you're again calling God a liar. Pastor, the truth is, I'd love to serve God, but I just don't have anything to serve Him with. The only other option is that you call God a liar. Because He's given you something to serve. You just got to find out what it is and get to serving Him. God's given you everything that you need for life and godliness. Now, I want to do something just interesting here. I want to get some children up here. Any kids want to come on up? Any of you? I can have you all or whatever. Just come on up if you'd like to come up here. Okay? I'm going to ask you some questions. Come on. Who's got the guts to get up here? Somebody does. There you go, Evan. Come on. Come on. Come on. All right. Come on. Come on. Oh, good, 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 good. All right. Don't. I know it's late, but don't lose me here. You got choir practice, I know. Okay, I want somebody to tell me what is. Do you know what these are? Acorns. You think they're acorns? Yes. You think they're acorns? Yes. Yep. You think so?
No.
Nope. You're wrong. Do you know what these are? These are oak trees. You're like, come on, Pastor, you're messing with us. I am a little bit. They are indeed acorns. I'm gonna give you one. Okay, that way you can build some oak trees. Well, not build, but plant them in your backyard. Okay, you might need those later, so don't mess them up. Okay, you got that? It's got a little pointy part on it, so be careful. There you go. Okay, and I got some left over. If any adults want an oak tree, that'll be fine. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, kids, stay right there for just a second. I'm not being facetious. I'm being serious. Is this an oak tree? It's got everything it needs to be one. You're like, well, I mean, you got to put it in the soil and you got to water it. The soil of the word and the water of the word. Yeah, you're right about that. Will every one of these acorns turn into an oak tree? You're like, where'd you get these? Oh, I just stopped on a sidewalk and picked up a few because we've got plenty. And I pull up oak trees all the time in my front yard, right? Because the squirrels like to bury them underneath my little area there. And I'm like, nope, no bad place for an oak tree. You know, right next to your front window where it rips your foundation apart. It's a really bad place. And I'd rather deal with it when it's this tall and when it's, you know. Did you know that within this, in 50 years, potentially could be enough wood to heat several houses for several winters? You ever seen massive oak trees? I mean, I've seen some where you can't hardly get your arms around them, and they're just mammoth. You know? You want to know how big they are? Rake the leaves off one of them. My neighbor's got one of those too, and he can't rake his leaves, so hello, right? It all started right here. There's not an oak tree out there that didn't start right here. You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm serious. This is where it starts, right here. But we don't think about this. And by the way, we don't think about the little choices we make right now. But God has put within this tiny acorn everything that's needed for a mammoth oak tree. Do you know what? These, all of these, are some of our most precious commodities at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And you know what? Within them, every one of them, is the potential to be a mammoth oak tree for God. They got to make choices, and we got to make choices. We got to plant ourselves in the Word of God and allow it to change us all the time. Now, parents, I want you to use these acorns. There's some homework for you in your homework. You guys can go have a seat. Thank you very much. Anybody want more? I got more. I got six more. You like oak trees? You can plant them all together. You get six oak trees in one place, right? God's given you everything you need for life and godliness. It's all planted within you. He's given it to you by His divine power. What an amazing God. What an amazing God. Father, we thank You for Your truth. I think it's a life-changing truth. I think if we will apply it, we will be different people. May we do so. We love You. Thank You for Your goodness to us. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you stand, please? Let me ask you, have you complained about what God's given you? Well, I don't like the fact that I have that disease, or I don't like the fact that I have this, or I don't like the fact that I have that. Do you think that maybe God's given it to you for a reason? That He's given you opportunity to minister for a reason? As they begin to play quietly, would you surrender that to God to say, God, I'm going to give it to You. You've given me everything I need for life and godliness. I'm not the brightest guy in the book, but I want to tell you, You've given me the brain that I need. You've given me the talents that I need. I'm going to stop complaining and just focus on what You want for me to do. I'm going to claim those promises, the divine power of God working in me. What precious things that is. Would you respond to Him? We'll let Him play one more time. Just quickly.